edition of Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk, 97.1. That sounds a little weird, doesn't it? There it goes. I think my headphones were just a little weird there. We're good. I'm good.
You sound...
Are you good?
You sound fine to me. I'm perfect.
All right. Stumbling out of the starting blocks.
Oh, man. It's like that week you weren't here. I'm sick, not feeling good. Tony's AWOL. Eventually, I think that show did get rolling.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It's fine. It's fine. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk, 97.1. Tony Colombo here, my partner, Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory right there. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm great.
Yeah.
I got my 9/11 Memorial Glock.
Oh,
I brought
that
with me. Wow. Show you boys here in a little bit.
Yeah, nice.
And then we put it on social media because I figured I'd share it with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And we started getting blown up about this gun. Where can I get it? How much is it? And it was only on Blue Label. So you
have to be a
first responder to get it. And they only made 400 of them.
Or a vet, right?
Yeah, a vet that's been retired out. And then Glock does every once in a while, like if you have a DD-214, you can get Blue Label regardless of your separation.
What is a DD-214?
That's your service paperwork. It shows like what branch... What classes or what
that
training. And we start getting like blown up. I mean, like literally I put this on social media and like my wife's like, "What did you do?" You know, and I'm like, "I put a picture up of the, 9/11 Glock."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh." You know, she thought I did like something like, you know, told people to tear their NRA stickers off, which I did tell them to do. So.
Everything's free.
Yeah. That's why we're getting blown up, baby. We had to tell people like, you had to be a first responder to get this. We had just regular guys that wanted it that, you know, are of our generation and remembered it. So we're like, yeah, sorry. I mean, you know, we can't sell it to you. We get in trouble with the Blue Label people. And
we've been through this before and we'll answer questions later, but this brings up an interesting point off the start of the show. What if a guy like me, who has not served and is not a first responder, but I have family members or good friends that are, and I want them to have that gun as a present from me? Is there any way to go about buying that? I know we've talked about this before Christmas, like if you want to try to buy a Christmas present for somebody.
Yeah, it'd be the
is there a way to buy it and surprise somebody or not?
The surprise will happen. It'll just happen at Southern Armory.
Yeah, it'll happen before, you know, not as they unwrap a box with a gun in it or anything. So so if somebody does want to try to get something really cool like that, that is only available to
that
first responders
group,
but they're not, but they have a brother or
so
a
they
spouse
would,
or
they
something.
Would arrange for it, they would purchase it, and then they would make an excuse up to go to the gun store. Hey, I heard Southern Army's got this really cool firearms training simulator.
They have to prove to you before they can pay for it that the person they're getting it for is a first responder, right?
That would probably be helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't necessarily need to because the paperwork doesn't have to be filled out until they do the actual background check.
Gotcha.
So since they're buying it, let's say you were going to buy it for me, you'd come in, tell my wife, hey, he's a fireman, this is what I want, and then, you know, she would... You'd pay for it. She would order it.
Right.
And then when I came in to use the firearms training simulator or check out this really cool thing that Southern Armor's got, you got to have an excuse to get them in the store, which the firearms training simulator works great because you show them the video.
Hey, I bought you an hour on the...
Right.
Let's go do it.
And they're like, oh, yeah, man, let's go do this. They're pumped up because the video is... They're just seeing all this cool stuff on the video they can do. So they're like, yeah, man, I'll go do that for an hour. That looks awesome. Especially if they're into guns whatsoever. So then... They come in, then you can be like, hey, yeah, let's look at guns. Well, we already know who you are, what you're coming in for. So now you come in and, start looking at guns, and then, hey, check out this gun. And they're going to be like, man, that is so cool. And then you can be like, yeah.
It's yours.
So fill out the paperwork and take it home because it's yours.
You kind
of get the idea.
Right.
So, it can be arranged. It's not our first rodeo. It's been, it's definitely been done before.
Yeah.
And people are just like.
That's cool.
Are you kidding me?
That's a cool way to do it.
The best part is like some of these, like I did this to one of our buddies who's getting married. He's literally pulling out his credit card to buy it.
Ha!
And we're like, no, man, you don't, no. It's already paid for. He was like, what? He's like, huh? I don't get it. You know, then he started reading the card.
That's cool.
The actual like sales tag, you know, with like,
oh, yeah,
what it is and who it is. And instead of all this info on it, it was, you know, congratulations, and everybody had signed it. So
yeah,
we can arrange little stuff like that.
So if you have a first responder or a service member or a vet in your family that is a gun person or even a gun collector,
yeah,
this is like the coolest thing. You need to go to Southern Armory and get one of these bad boys while you can.
Well,
you gonna get it out?
Yeah, I'm gonna get it out.
I like it.
But here's the bad news.
What's the bad news?
Yeah, there was only 400 made, and
so better hurry your butt.
There's no more left.
Oh,
so we put this on our social media, and next thing you know, we're getting blown up like crazy.
Right.
Here it is. It's unloaded. I know Radio Land can't see that.
Yeah, but no, that's still important.
Yeah, it's still probably important to mention it. We'll be getting blasted. So it's a Glock 17 Gen 4. It's got the American flag on the slide. And then on the side there, it has the 9/11 with the different seals of the Pentagon, the fire, and law enforcement. And then it comes with the challenge coin, too, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So only 400 of these things made. So I feel like, you know, super honored to even have this.
Yeah.
Now, the other cool thing I have at home is a knife made out of steel from the World Trade Center, too.
Wow.
So that's a knife that just stays, you know, like, yeah. I don't use it.
Yeah.
Like it.
How old are you, Chad?
26.
So...
He was
help
a
me
baby.
With the math. Yeah, you were alive on 9/11, but
yeah, he was like
I was in
second grade.
Oh,
yeah, in elementary school. That's crazy.
Yeah, I was in high school.
I was on the radio.
I was listening to you on the weekends, cruising Lindbergh on the point.
I was actually in 2001. I was on the mall.
The mall
104.1.
Oh man, that's a rap station.
It wasn't then.
Yeah,
it was an 80s, 90s station then.
Yeah,
and. I was working nights. My shift was 6 to 10. No, 6 to midnight. 6 to 10 was my shift on the point. 6 to midnight was my shift on the mall. Yeah, 6 to midnight. And one of our other jocks was, remember 9/11 was a Tuesday. And
I just remember it was fifth period on B day.
There you go.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, it was a Tuesday.
English 3.
And on Monday, one of the other jocks was off. So I worked a double shift.
Yeah.
So I was
On air when it happened?
No, I was off on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So because I had worked a double shift on Monday, my boss had said, like, hey, could you cover da-da-da-da on Monday and then just take Tuesday off because, you know, you'll do two shifts on Monday. So that, on 9/11, I actually had the day off. And so I was out. I mean, I was on the air till midnight, and then I was out after that because that was what I did back then. And so at 9:15 in the morning when this all went down is like my – may as well be the middle of the night for me.
Yeah.
And I just remember my phone going crazy and like landline phone.
Yeah,
at my apartment.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Cell phones were not really a thing.
Yeah, yeah. I think I had one then, but it wasn't, you know, like...
10 cents a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
No cool games.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I just remember my... Yeah, right. T9 texting.
Wow.
Yeah. I never liked the T9. I was always more like the hit the 2-3 times to get to the C, and then
that's where I was.
I was better at that than
Me
I was
too.
T9. But yeah, I you know, my phone's going crazy, and even back then, you know, as a young just FM music jock, I was still a news junkie, and everybody knew that. And so people were, you know, family and stuff were calling me saying, you got to turn on the television, you got to turn on the television. What a terrible thing to wake up to.
Right.
You know, already getting woke up in, you know, in the morning, and which sucks. And then to turn the TV on and see that, it's just terrible.
Even worse.
And then radio was very strange for the next few weeks. You know, we changed a lot of the way we do things, and, you know, we had to be on constantly watching the news to see if we needed to, because if anything big would happen, we would switch to the news. We'd stop playing music.
Really?
We would switch to, you know, the news. And I was actually on the air whenever the retaliation, I guess that was, would that have been the shock and awe, maybe?
The counterstrike.
Yeah, whenever we started the counterstrike in Afghanistan, I was on the air. And so I had to get on the air in the middle of a song and announced that the Counter-Strike was underway, and we're going to take you now to live programming. I think back then obviously now we would go to Fox News.
Right, yeah.
I think back then on that station, it was a different company and a different, obviously a different station.
Yeah, like ABC or NBC.
I think it was CNN.
Oh, okay.
And so we're going to go to live CNN coverage of, counteroffensive. And so that was just a surreal time, especially to be on the air. And yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, I remember, I was in high school, I was a junior. So I remember the TV being constantly on the news stations.
Yeah, yeah.
Lunch. They had like six TVs in the commons.
Well, that day, that Tuesday, 9/11, like I said, I had it off. So I literally just stared at the television
all day
for 24 straight hours almost, and just watched it all happen and watched all the fallout. And as we tried to figure, because at first it didn't, nobody thought it was a terrorist.
Yeah.
At first it was thought to be an accident.
Yeah, but
Plane crashing, and then the second plane happened, and everybody went, "Oh,
yeah,
boy.
this is orchestrated.
This is something." So the story kept changing throughout the day, and the theories kept changing throughout the day, and because it wasn't like it happened, and everybody went, "Oh,
was that
that's Osama bin Laden attacking?"
Right. He had to release the video. And
we
stuff,
didn't know any of that yet.
So I guess was that the beginning of the 24-hour news cycle?
I mean, that definitely kicked it into full gear.
Yeah.
You know what's given a lot of credit for starting, like, the cable news thing is the Challenger disaster in 85.
Yeah. I was alive.
Right.
I don't remember it, and I have the Time magazine from
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, I remember that as well. I think I was 7 when that happened. I remember pretty clearly, when that all went down. And then, if you look back, like, that was kind of what proved to everybody that CNN was a viable, like, important channel to have. Because everybody, when CNN, because they were the first cable news, 24-hour cable news channel, they all were, the big criticism was, you already get news on the networks in the morning and you get an hour at night. Isn't that enough? There's not enough
going
news.
On, yeah.
There's not to enough even to talk about to have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why would anybody ever want to tune something like that in?
And it seems like it's more of a recap in the late evenings.
Yeah.
8, 9
yeah.
o'clock.
And then that Challenger disaster happened in the middle of the day. And, and there was nowhere to, if you wanted to see what was happening, you had to go to CNN.
Yeah. This was before the internet. People.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Oh,
before
yeah.
cell phones.
It kind of proved that it was a viable product and something that people would watch. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe 9/11 certainly did have a big effect on news coverage
news.
And the 24-hour news cycle. And yeah, there was just so much to take in that day. And it just was ongoing. And it lasted for weeks, the fallout from that. And then, and then like I said, the counterattack and all that stuff. So it was just an
interesting deal.
Yep.
Anyway, they're all gone.
Anyway, Aaron's got a sweet gun and nobody else can have it.
we had people literally blowing us up. And then we did have a few more left. And I looked at my wife and I was like, man, did you see that going down like that? And she's like, no.
Awesome.
I wish we had a dozen more.
Sure.
I mean,
I'm sure every
we
gun
still would have had.
I'm sure every gun store wishes they had a dozen more.
Right. Yeah. And
right?
Guns, that's actually said, I wish I had a dozen more.
Right.
And then sometimes it's not. My wife's like, well, maybe we only really wanted one or two more. So it is what it is.
Right.
The other cool gun we got in this week was the MP40, which if you played Call of Duty, the MP40 was the German submachine gun in 9mm, and we actually have those in 9mm, and they're like 500 something bucks. They're like super reasonable.
Like the World War II version?
Yeah. I mean,
so
it's
are
not
they,
full auto.
Right. Are they remaking them?
There's a company out there, remaking them.
Okay, gotcha. They're not like refurbished old.
Yeah, no, that'd be cool too.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I would definitely take one of those. But I saw this gun and I'm like, man, this is cool. My wife's like, you're not buying it. And I'm like, oh, you just got a Glock. I'm like, yeah, you're right, I did.
How often do gun companies do something like that?
I think it just depends. Now, this gun was actually kind of a long and coming because, for some reason in this industry, they announce they're making it and then like a year or two later, they will actually make it.
They'll actually come out with
it. Yeah, they'll actually get it out. And
I know we've been talking about it for a while. I mean, we've not like this, not in depth, but we've mentioned it and, you know, talked about this gun for a few different times on the show.
So, yeah, now it's
finally here.
It's in the store, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was just shocked. Like, I was like, oh, man. Yeah, it's got some good weight to it.
Right.
And I was sitting there playing with it, and I was like, you're not getting it. And then we had a customer buy two of them, not one, but two.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm making this one a short bow rifle. And I'm like, that's going to be awesome. So he's going to be...
Is there limits on that one, or is it just you can...
You can make as many of them short barrel rifles as you want.
No, I mean, like, is this run of this German...
Limited production?
Yeah.
No, there's plenty available.
So
So if you want it, go get it.
Yeah. That's cool.
The big thing, too, we've been getting a lot of questions out, is the DEMS introduced an assault weapons ban.
Oh, yeah. I want to get into that.
Yeah, so people have been like, should we buy an AR now? Should we buy an AK now? Should we buy... Yeah.
That's one that was like the most... most asked question that I got this week.
And you can probably recall is, you know, back weeks ago, months ago, I was like, buy one now.
Yeah.
They're cheap.
Right.
They're plentiful. Whatever you want, you can get. If you want a particular brand or particular model, it's there. Now it might be too late. You know, I'm not trying to freak people out, but it's like, now that they're going to do this, there's going to be a little run on guns. All these dealers are going to stock up.
Mm-hmm.
And what you may have wanted may be there. So now you're either going to have to go on the hunt. Or maybe compromise for the same brand but different model or base model and build it up or whatever. So with that being said, come into the shop.
Yeah.
We're 9901 Watson Road, 1 mile east of 270-44 and southernarmory.com.
Southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
We got to take a break, but I want to talk a little bit more about the shop when we get back and talk about this. The Democrats, now they have control of the House.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah. I want to talk about that.
And then we got local stuff going on.
And
we
got to
put the NRA on blast.
I know you've got some things to say about the NRA.
Yeah.
So don't go anywhere. We got a lot coming your way here on Second Amendment Radio. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to the Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo. That's right. You heard it. Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory in the studio as well.
Yep.
I almost said Weekend Report.
Weekend Report. Oh. That's the next show.
Sometimes my Saturdays just kind of all blend together, buddy.
You're always in studio. That's why.
Producer Chad Ellis in the room. He's the one that busted me. He was laughing at me when
I...
wasn't
going to say anything.
Welcome to the Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1. We're talking about Southern Armory.
Yep.
The... fine establishment owned by my partner Aaron Tarlow. Before we stop talking about the store, defensive pistol classes, CCW classes, all that stuff.
Yeah.
When are they coming up? How can people get themselves signed up?
Southernarmory.com.
Southernarmory.com.
That's Southernarmory.com.
That's the best way to sign up. Yes. Now, if you want to come into the store itself, it's buy one, get one half off.
Ooh, nice.
So that's going to save you money. So we have a buddy come in.
Yeah.
Next one is next weekend.
Yeah.
So that's a, you know, get in this week. You know, we're coming today.
Right.
And sign up.
Yeah.
You know, the classes we do limit. We don't want, you know, a ton of people in there.
That's good.
You know, we want you to learn. And
right.
If we've got 20, 30, 40, and there are places out there that'll have that many students in there, and it's just like you're just not going to learn.
Yeah.
You know, there's no.
You need that one-on-one. You need to be able to ask questions.
Yeah, there's none of that.
That's how I learned, I know.
Yeah, there's none of that individual attention, which, you know, does happen. But does anybody need to take a break? So we'll be like, yeah, let's take a break. So we'll take a break. And then you'll have one or two people come up and go, hey, I got lost on this section. Or, hey, what about this? I didn't feel comfortable asking it in front of everybody else.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, yeah, that's a great question. You know, you talk to him about it. And then you say, hey, you know, it was brought up during break, you know. Somebody asked about, you know, this situation for use of force, and then you kind of break it down. And so, you know, I think the smaller classes you get something out of, the big classes that are just kind of, I don't want to say like heavily commercialized, but, you know, it's just like get it in, get them out, like a McDonald's, you know, it's just not, it's not great, you know. Mm-hmm. Go to a place, you get a good burger, you pay a couple dollars more, but you're not just a number.
And then just a quick reminder on the defensive pistol classes, like... Uh-huh. You said every couple of years, right? That's kind of the best.
Well, for the CCW class, you know, when you need to go renew.
Right.
You know, in 5 years, that's the good time to come in. and get a refresher on the laws.
Yeah.
Because laws are going to change.
Right.
You know, where you can and can't carry and use of force and this kind of stuff. Like now we have open carry and we have the constitutional carry. So, you know, what are the differences in between there? So it seems that every 5 years-ish,
mm-hmm.
there's something that really does come out. And your permit runs for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you really want to come, you know, every 2 or 3 years, you could do that too. You'll be a little bit more up to date, you know, than the next guy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, after 5 years, yeah, you're going to catch some changes.
You think there'll ever be a change to that 5 year? Will it always be 5 years or will there be a... I know that there has been a push in the past for things like, you know, like I'm a huge fisherman. I can buy my 1 year license every year.
Or a lifetime.
Or I could buy a life, pay a, you know, a
like $500
a bigger
or
fee.
Yeah.
And get a lifetime deal. Would you be a proponent of something like that? Or do you think it's a good idea to
We have it fine? For starters.
Oh, okay.
So we have a 10-year permit, we have a 25-year, and we have a lifetime.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay.
The problem with that is it's not accepted by everybody.
Ah.
So the lifetime permit says in the law, it's only good to Missouri. It's sorry. I don't know. I got a little frog in my voice. Not good anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get into the 25-year permit, you're not going to find anybody that really accepts it. The 10-year permit.
Except the state of Missouri.
Yeah, except the state of Missouri. And then the 10-year permit, you're going to find like a mixed bag. Some people will accept it in other states and others won't. We always recommend the 5-year permit because you're going to get the maximum
Universal.
Number of states.
Yeah,
yeah, for reciprocity.
Gotcha.
So yeah, get the 5-year permit. That's something. That's a question we get in the class too. Hey, I heard I can get this lifetime permit, man, and it's like, yeah, it's only good in Missouri,
mm-hmm.
and like we use Florida for example because Florida gives you a 7-year permit, Missouri gives you a 5-year. Florida mm-hmm. requires 4 hours of training. Missouri requires 8. Both states require fingerprints, so Missouri is going to be honored in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Once you go to the 10-year permit, you know, is Florida going to honor it?
Right.
Because they only want 7 years or less.
Right.
You know, so people are like, oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. It's like, right, so you just get the 5-year.
I think that's a good piece of information that you gave there, too, that it's an 8-hour
yeah.
situation.
It's an 8-hour class
so you need
minimum by state statute.
Yeah.
We start at 8 a.m. and we get done between 5 and 6.
Yeah.
You
so
know,
get ready.
And yeah, so
like
be.
You need a day to mm-hmm. make this happen.
Right. And sometimes we get a lot of questions, and that's fine.
Right.
You know, and we're there until 6 or a little after, and that's fine.
Right.
Sometimes the questions are just kind of repetitive, and, you know, and it's like, hey, let's talk after class. So then,
yeah.
you know, we'll get everybody else out, you
yeah.
know, between 5 and 6,
so
and then we'll hang out and chat, you know, especially if it's like I was just having trouble hitting the target. Well, we pull up our firearms training simulator, we pull up a B-27 silhouette target, and we sit there and work with you a little bit more.
Right.
So, you know, we can really, because it is a small class, we can customize it and get you comfortable. Some point, you know, we get into, it's like, you really need to come to a defensive pistol class, or you need to arrange for some training that's one-on-one.
Right.
And we have private property. We go out. We don't go to a public range.
Mm-hmm.
And we take you out and we shoot, and it's just us.
That's cool.
So there's a high degree of safety because it's just the two of us. We don't worry about anybody else. We're outdoors, so it's not as loud. You know, we mm-hmm. can actually take our hearing pro off and talk and have a normal conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm a big component of the active noise reduction hearing protection, which, like, you can still hear.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has, like, electronic filters.
Yeah.
I really like that stuff. So we have a set of those. Normally, if my student doesn't have one, I'm like, especially one-on-one, I'm like, here you go, put this on. And then they love it. They end up buying them. They're like, man, I can't believe these are so cheap. And it's
yeah.
like, yeah, I know. Like,
that's cool.
Bose had that stuff in the 90s, and it was like $500, you know. So,
that's
you know,
cool.
it is what it is. So
yeah.
The classes are great. Jess does a women's intro to self-defense class.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Because
that's a fairly newer class, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's
yeah.
a great idea.
And we don't offer it a whole lot either. It's kind of intermittent.
Yeah.
And we squeeze it in when there's time.
Yeah.
But that's a class that you can get the wife, the girlfriend, your daughter get ready to
what
go off
a great
to college.
Idea.
Into so they can understand, hey,
and you get to hang out with Jess, not Aaron.
Yeah, and Jess is, I'm telling you, she's way better looking than me, like, you know, so for many reasons. But she's got this class that you go in and you can learn, like, hey, you know, the college age girl, right? And you know, 18, 19, 20 going off to college, we want to assume they're not going to drink. I got news for you. They're going to be drinking.
Yeah.
So there's like these testers.
And they're for sure going to be around a bunch of people that are drinking.
Right, definitely. Okay. So now all of a sudden they have like these drinks that you can test. It's like a coaster, just a normal coaster. They take mm-hmm. a little bit of the alcohol drink out and put it on this. And if it changes colors, they know that it's
been spiked.
Yeah. You know.
Great. That's so great.
Yeah, for 18, 19, 20-year-old to go, oh, wow, really? You know, it's like, hey, we know you're going to drink.
Yeah.
Like, let's at least give you the tools, you know,
to protect yourself. Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be underage. You could be 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 and going out to the bars trying to meet people, et cetera, and use this too. So it's kind of a neat thing. They have, like, the alarm for the dorm that you can wedge under a door, and if the door opens, it'll set an alarm off and let you know. They have the personal alarms, too, that you can attach to different things. So Jess goes over all that, including pepper spray, tasers, stun guns, and firearms, just to let you know, hey, this is what's out there. This is the ages that you can purchase this stuff, et cetera. So kind of a neat deal. You know, no guns really on campus, but there's nothing saying you can't have a stun gun or a taser.
Right.
And
or
some
pepper
of these,
spray.
Yeah, or pepper spray. And some of these stun guns, man, they're in flashlights.
Yeah.
So it's even better because now, you know, you're traveling home, you can get the flashlight, turn it on, you know, if you break down or something, you need to change a tire on the side of the road.
We should talk to our buddy Mike at Intervine.
See if we can incorporate the two.
Yeah, if we can get an Intervine flashlight.
Those high voltage lithium batteries would, I'm sure those would sting a little bit.
Yeah. Intervine.com, by the way, for the best and brightest LED camping lanterns, flashlights, and headlamps. Proud sponsor of Second Amendment Radio. INTERVINE.com. Intervine. didn't expect to do that one, but
yeah,
it's worth it.
And Aaron needs a flashlight.
Yeah, they. Mike, Aaron needs a flashlight.
Test this thing out. See if we can.
Maybe this all ties together. Where do you want to start? Dems. Because one of the questions we got was, now that the Dems, that we got a lot, that I've gotten a lot over the last couple of weeks, is now that the Dems have taken over the House, do we need to worry about them coming after our guns, or are they too distracted with what's happening at the border and all this?
So
talk about what they've already
done. They got to figure out the border thing first. And everybody's been following that. They know the government's shut down and the Dems can solve it in 15 minutes if they just cooperate, but that's not going to happen. So with all that being said, yeah, they've got to deal with the border, I think, first. However, that border issue is going to get resolved. I promise you, I don't see it lasting much longer, because it is the Democrat obstructionists, in my view. And I think they got royally trolled, you know, after the thing. On Wednesday, was it Wednesday? Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. My feed was blown up, you know.
Yeah.
With them getting trolled, and very few Trump trolls, and I got a lot of liberals on my Facebook because I like to keep them around to beat them up and see what they're saying. They always say the same stuff, so I think they're all subscribed. My uncle in Texas says the same thing. I think they're all subscribed to the same email blast because they all give me the same talking points.
Yeah.
And you know, here we are, me and him are just blasting him from one way, blasting him from the other. And him and I have different views. He's in Texas, so he's got a view of the border wall that I don't necessarily have.
Yeah, a little more personal.
Right. And so we go back and forth, and they just don't know whether they're coming or going because they're getting them, you know, they're trying to argue with Bob, and then they're trying to argue with me, and then I'll have like another buddy that has another view, and he's coming up the middle, you know, and it's like, man, you're getting it from three different ways, and they're all different. All different points. We all have, my big thing is the trafficking of kids.
Yeah.
You know, for sex slaves. That is messed up.
That's a huge thing.
And the Dems think that's fine. But then,
and the heroin.
Yeah, and the heroin is my other big problem. But, you know, then I look at Hollywood and like, oh, well, this movie actor was sleeping with, 10-year-old little girls. It's like, yeah. Yeah. No wonder you want to address the situation because Hollywood's all Democrat. We're going to regress. Because Aaron's head's going to explode. So I see them. They have to solve the border wall first. Then they'll go ahead and they'll start pushing for gun control.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's here. Mark Rubio did a national red flag law. It was in the news. It was a brief cycle, man. It was in and out. Because the border wall took over.
He supported it or warned against it?
He supported it. He brought it in.
Which
he wrote the bill.
Which is
little Marco. You believe this?
Who's a Republican?
Yeah, who's a Republican?
But as you and our friend Alex Salzman, who's been on the show many times from Missouri Firearms Coalition, has said, there is a surprising amount of Republicans
that are for this
and the NRA.
Yeah, we'll put them on blast here in a minute. Unless you want to do it now.
Why don't you wrap up things with the, let's do this. Before we go to break, explain why it's here now and why people need to act, even though it's not in the news right now, assault bans, red flags. Why is it important for people to prepare now?
What, to purchase?
Purchase.
Buy it, because it's, once they infect the, or in effect, institute the ban,
yeah,
you're not going to be able to get it.
Right.
Your gun stores are going to go out of business.
What if you've already bought the gun, but it's not here yet?
So if you've bought the gun and it's not here yet,
But it's an illegal gun.
Well, not
now
yet.
Now it's been made an illegal gun.
Right.
In the time after you bought it.
It depends on how they write this. Yeah, how they write this law.
That's a mess, though.
Way that they could write it is, you know, after this effective date.
Yeah.
So you look at, like, New Jersey, it was like, you have until this date to register all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so if you've bought it.
I bet a lot of them are effective immediately.
Yeah, I don't know.
I bet a lot of them are.
It's gonna be interesting. Like in Missouri.
Would you make a mess?
Yeah, it would be a huge mess. But in Missouri,
they don't care about that.
No, they don't care.
They want it to be a mess.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, the way that, if it happens in Missouri, which I don't see it happening in Missouri, it'll go into effect August 28th, which is when all the bills go into effect. Mm-hmm. If it goes into a veto, it goes into either, a veto would be like, it would be like September, October. It would go into effect immediately or January 1st, mm-hmm. one of the two. So you just kind of have to pay attention. But we're not there yet. So right. What I'm going to tell you is get it now.
Yeah.
Buy your high cap magazines if you want them. Buy your ARs. Buy your high cap magazines for your rifles, your pistols. If you think they could possibly ban it, you know, get it. And there's going to be those people out there, they ain't going to ban nothing. Well, they banned your bump stock. That's what I'm going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They said, nope, it's legal. It's been literally legal for decades. And now you got to cut it up in three different pieces. Okay? So you tell me.
Right.
You know, and they did the same thing with the arm brace. It's a stock. It's not a stock. It's a stock.
In place now?
Yeah, it's in place now. They've got a law.
So you cannot sell bump stocks anymore.
Yeah. There's a law in effect right now. They just filed a lawsuit. You know, so with all that being said, it's coming, guys.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to scare you. It's coming.
Little red flag law warning coming up, and discussion of why certain Republicans and the NRA are okay with this, and
insanity.
Aaron's reaction to the NRA's being okay with it. Next, don't go anywhere. Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97. All right, welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here with Aaron Tarlow, my co-host, the owner of Southern Armory. And as we were ending that last segment, talking about Democrats taking over the House of Representatives and what their plans are for coming after guns and limiting some of your gun and Second Amendment rights. We've talked a lot on this show about red flag laws, and we've had Alex Salzman from the Missouri Firearms Coalition on the show many times talking about how she has been on the front lines combating them in Jefferson City here in the state of Missouri. Aaron just told us something that I didn't even realize, that Marco Rubio, Republican in Florida, has come out in support of certain red flag law initiatives. And as we do know, in many states, not only are some Republicans on board, but the NRA is on board with some of these red flag laws. And these red flag laws are essentially the laws that say all you have to do is have a complaint against you for your gun to be taken away. So if Aaron and I are out to dinner one night and we get into an argument and I'm mad at him and I want to get back at him because I know that he's a gun collector and he likes his guns. So I'm going to go file an anonymous complaint against him and say he's got guns and I think he's dangerous.
Yeah, he's a risk.
With these laws, if they're in place, the authorities come over to Aaron's house and they go in to his home and take all of his guns. And then...
all. Not like leave me one to protect myself and my family.
Then there's,
all.
And then at some point in the future, there's litigation, and it's determined whether Aaron was truly a threat to himself or others, and whether he gets his guns back or not. It's literally guilty until proven innocent.
It is.
It really is. And
I mentioned that to somebody, and they go, well, that's only a criminal process. And I'm like, Okay, guilty as in, yeah, guilty of a criminal charge. However, you know, we're supposed to be innocent. You're supposed to have to prove their case against me.
Yeah.
And it's the
complete
opposite.
Before taking action.
Right.
And action's already been taken because all your guns are gone. And we, you know, we've heard stories from across the country about it being, you know, a family fight where somebody's, you know, trying to get back at their brother that they're mad at. Or, you know, divorces is a huge one.
Right.
Where if there's a spouse that knows the other spouse is, you know, guns are important to them and they are just trying to do everything they can to mess with them because they're mad, you know, because they're going through a contentious divorce process.
Yep.
They'll file these complaints and then their guns get taken away.
And think about it like this, too.
They have to get them back.
For those that think that that doesn't happen, I know a ton of people have been divorced, but I know people have been divorced and the wife or the husband have gone down and got a temporary restraining order against them.
Talk to any divorce lawyer.
That's one of the things that they say to
do. Yeah. Tell me a few of your horror stories, and they will tell you that people go to extremes
to mess with
some
them.
Point in yeah. some in some separations, not in all, but
some are civil.
Some are civil.
It's rare,
but there are times that it just gets really ugly, and that and it doesn't matter if it's a divorce or a family spat, or you hate your neighbor and you know he has guns in the house.
Right.
So I'm gonna screw with him. I'm gonna send the cops over there to get all his guns. And then, yeah, then your guns are taken from you, and then it's your responsibility to take your time, your resources, and everything to prove that
you're not a threat.
That you're not a threat, and those guns should be given back
now,
to you. So that's how dangerous these red flag laws are.
And keep in mind,
why are people like Marco Rubio and the NRA okay with it?
I have no idea. That's the wild part about this. Like, Missouri's already got a section in there where you can be adjudicated mentally incompetent, and your firearms can be taken, but they have to prove it. And then they have so many weeks to act after the fact. Let's collect your guns. And then Missouri State Highway Patrol updating the NICS, which is run by the FBI. And NICS is National Instant Criminal Background Check System. Mm-hmm. And the Missouri State Highway Patrol will update your record in there so you're not able to buy guns nationwide, right? And then they can also reinstate your rights under this as well. What's important to note on here is that you still have gun rights up until you've been adjudicated,
mm-hmm.
right? So you've gotten time to prepare, you've had your gun rights up,
right.
You're going to court, you're presenting your case about why this shouldn't happen,
yeah.
The other side is trying to present why it should.
A lot more fair than a red flag law.
Absolutely. Red flag law is exact opposite. We're going to adjudicate you immediately,
mm-hmm.
then you can come to court and tell us why not.
Yeah.
Right? So it's completely
backwards.
We all
know how long it takes to get a court case, to get in front to present your case. You'd
be years. This could be literally years.
Months for sure, if not years, you're going to be without your guns and unable to get any more.
Right, and the court systems are
because
already
somebody filed an anonymous complaint against you.
They're already overwhelmed, right? So are we going to add judges in courtrooms? Well, no, there's no money for that.
Right.
So, I mean, you're just going to be, you know, think about how long it takes for a speeding ticket to get the disposition on a speeding ticket.
Yeah. Right.
Especially like my one buddy, I'm not going to drop names, might have done like 100 plus mile an hour and got pulled over by a Missouri state trooper in southern Missouri when we were going to Florida. Right. And I mean, it took, they were like, yo, he's got to go to court.
Yeah.
He's like, we may got to go to court. He's like, you know, I've gotten speeding tickets before and I just, you know, they just reduce it down. I pay like $500 or $600 and they're like, no, you got to go to court. This was over 100. You're going to court. They're going to make you go to court on this. This is not going to be your attorney talks about this.
Right.
So let me just
And what if you don't have an attorney?
Right. Or you can't afford one.
Right.
So now we're going to appoint one.
Right.
And we know the public defender's offices, they've got tons of resources, right? They're just not overwhelmed at all. They have plenty of room for additional caseload.
Mm-hmm.
Come again. Right. So
what's in it for the NRA and go?
Yeah, I don't know. So the NRA, I posted, I'm going to put the NRA on blast today. And I literally had, you know, I kind of previewed some stuff and I had guys literally sending me videos of them scraping their NRA sticker off. So we've only got a few minutes left of the show. This will probably bleed into next week, too.
Yep.
But the requirements for an emergency risk protection order process, the NRA support. Oh, excuse me, the NRA can support should include, right? And it's got a list here. And this is on NRAILA.org, right? So this is not just Aaron made this up.
Right.
I mean, I'm literally, I screenshot it right off their website. I'm going to post a screenshot. So that way if they decide to pull it down, because I literally tagged them in it.
Mm-hmm.
The NRA, the main site took me down immediately. They pulled the tag off. because they didn't want to be associated with it. The NRA ILA did not. It took them a little bit. And I don't know if they're still tagged or not when I put them on blast on Monday. But they'll support it if the following is there. The process should include criminal penalties for those who bring false or frivolous charges. Well, you wouldn't need to have that in there if you had your due process to begin with.
Right.
Okay. So an order should only be granted when a judge makes a determination that there's clear and convincing evidence that the person poses a significant risk of danger to themselves or others, which should be done after they've got the ball rolling, not before when you're not there.
Right, which can be still done without your knowledge.
Right, which is done without your knowledge, mm-hmm. absolutely. The process should require the judge to make a determination whether the person meets the state standard for involuntary commitment. It means they're going to put you in an institution where the standard for involuntary commitment is met. This should be the course for action taken. If an ERPO is granted, the person should receive community-based mental health treatment as a condition. Any ex parte process should include admitting the individual for treatment. So ex parte, it means you're not there, right? So they can just, you're not there, we're gonna give you treatment.
Right.
This is horrible.
Right.
The person's Second Amendment rights should be only temporarily deprived after a hearing before a judge in which the person is notified of the hearing and is given an opportunity to offer evidence on your behalf. Mind you, they've already come and got your guns.
Your guns
at this
are
point.
Already gone. Yep.
Yep. Let's see here. So, I mean, it's right there.
I don't get it. I don't understand what's in for the NRA. I don't understand why Republicans are okay with this, and yeah. I don't understand why the NRA is okay with
it. And then the best part is the NRA says, the NRA fights for constitutional freedoms, including due process of all law-abiding Americans every day in Congress and state houses and courts. Our record is clear. Due process is the bedrock of our Constitution. Without it, we'd cease to exist. But then, you know, on the previous page, they're like, we're good with it. We're good with ex parte
orders. Due process after your guns are gone.
Right. All 50 states currently have, you know, some sort of law. But it's not to this extreme.
Not even close.
I think this is a very slippery slope.
Agreed.
You know, it's your freedoms are being definitely attacked. I think the medical marijuana thing could go into your antidepressants and your anti-anxiety medications very quickly.
Yeah.
So you just wait, hang on. I know we're running out of time, but it's here.
Yeah.
You need to be calling, and I have been already talking to state reps about this, and the ones I've talked to were like, no way we're going to pass this in Missouri.
Yeah, I hope not.
And I plan on going out and testifying. I would encourage you to do it. Alex is supposed to be bringing down some petitions to sign. I think she said she was going to throw them in a vanilla envelope, mail them down to us.
Cool.
So I'll let everybody know. You get on the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page or Southern Armory's Facebook page, and it will be on there. If you don't want to be proactive and checking our page on a regular basis, then go to southernarmory.com.
Yeah, southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
And then it'll prompt you to join our email list. Join our email list. We'll push it out to everybody. 51660 type armory in on that, and that will get you in. And with us, and we can send you a text message and say, hey, listen, petitions are here. Get in here and sign them.
Yep.
This is serious.
All right. We've got you covered. Keep up with us here on Second Amendment Radio. We'll talk more about this next week. Also, like Aaron said, go to the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page, the Southern Armory Facebook page, to keep up with everything happening there. And ask your questions. Let us know. Send them to me on Twitter or ask them on those Facebook pages. Aaron addresses a lot of those questions right there in person, or we'll address them here on the radio.
Yep.
All right. That's going to wrap up this edition of Second Amendment Radio. For my partner Aaron Tarlow, our producer Chad Ellis, I am Tony Colombo. Thanks for joining us. We will see you next Saturday at 3 for another edition of Second Amendment Radio right here on FM News Talk 97.1.